This is Jim Fetzer, your host on Authentic News. We are simulcasting live on speakfreeradio.com. I'm delighted to say my procedure is going to be to cover stories, key stories of the day during the first hour, and open the second hour to calls. I know there are going to be a lot of you, so we want to be very methodical, very concise with your questions, and I'll seek to be the same with my responses. When it comes to the point that the mainstream media is acknowledging that the Ukrainian war is lost, you can be assured that the Ukrainian war is lost. In fact, highly responsible reports on it from South Front, TASS, and other sources show Ukrainians have been surrendering, giving up their tanks, white flags. They've been retreating from the front lines because they do not want to be cannon fodder. Antiwar.com has reported U.S. intelligence deems Ukraine's counteroffensive a failure, as indeed it has been. According to the Washington Post, even now, remember, that is one of the foremost propaganda outlets for the mainstream. The U.S. intelligence community has assessed that Ukraine's spring counteroffensive will fail to meet its core objectives. Their war games have predicted massive Ukrainian losses, but that Kiev would remain committed to the operations, gain the upper hand on the battlefield, but it has not happened. It hasn't happened. It is not going to happen. We even have a Congressional Ukraine Caucus co-chair saying the war may not be winnable. Representative Andy Harris, a Republican from Maryland, co-chair of the Congressional Ukrainian Caucus, said this week he's not sure if the Ukraine war is winnable, called for the U.S. to pressure Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to pursue peace talks. Peace talks, of course, have been ruled out by Zelensky in the past, in particular on the ground that he is not willing to relinquish an inch of Ukrainian territory to the Russians. On the other hand, the Russians are very secure with the Donbass, with Crimea, with Odessa. They are not about to give them up. I guarantee you this is permanent from the point of view of Russia. Now, the key player that's omitted here is the real motive behind the whole venture, which is Israel itself. DNA studies have shown most of the occupants of Israel are not descendants from the tribe of Judah, as they would have you believe, but are rather Khazarians from the region known as Khazaria, now modern-day Ukraine. Or the Khazarians would like to return to Ukraine as a modern-day Israel, as the new Israel. The troubling aspects of all this that make the United States just a weapon in the hands of Israel is that the American Congress is Israeli-occupied territory. As Cynthia McKinney revealed way back when, actually in 2011, on Iranian television, when new members of Congress come to Washington, they're asked to sign a pledge, put the interests of Israel even ahead of those of the United States. Years ago, and I'm sure I've mentioned this before, but it bears repeating, when a dear friend of mine, Gary King, with whom I do the new JFK show, asked me, were I aware of how many members of the then present Congress had declined to sign the pledge? And I acknowledge I did not. He held up one finger of one hand. Only one member of the then current Congress had declined to sign the pledge. And of course, we know the American media is dominated by dual U.S. Israeli citizens. I don't even need to reiterate. 100 execs from CNN, another 100 execs from NBC, another 100 execs from the New York Times. All dual U.S. Israeli citizens. And for those who may be unaware, Reuters and the Associated Press, which are the primary sources for all but local news stories and newspapers and television reports across the country, are owned by the Rothschild banking empire. In other words, everything except for our local news about our sports teams, our schools, high schools, colleges, and the like, are controlled by Zionist forces who definitely have an interest in putting their spin on the stories. This is why Donald Trump did such a great thing in calling out fake news media. Believe me, Trump did a great service to America, not only by giving us the strongest economy we'd had in ages, not only by securing the border, not only by making us energy independent, but by calling out the fake news media, such that in this point in time, a very high percentage of the American people no longer take for granted what they're told by the American media. That's a great benefit. In my opinion, Trump would deserve a place in the annals of greatest American president for doing that alone. The man, of course, I agree, is flawed, but in my judgment, he has done more for America than any other recent president. And, of course, we know the situation we're in with Joe Biden is one of calamity. The very idea of putting in this utterly incompetent and totally enfeebled pedophile, where the real Joe appears to have died as long ago as 2017, only to be replaced by imposters, an opinion I've researched and substantiated, because the two guys, the old Joe, the real Joe, and the current guy, have different shape and size of skull. They have different signatures and handwriting. They have different manners of expressing themselves. Old Joe, the real Joe, I dug up a video from 2007, was very articulate, very expressive, used his hands in gestures. He was just like yours truly in that manner, except, striking contrast, virtually everything the real Joe had to say was false. That's also true of the present occupant. But it turns out now, as we know, that the Ashley Biden diary was authentic, wherein she acknowledges having taken showers with her father, which were inappropriate. And we have other reports of sexual abuse of Ashley by Joe, by her father. I'm talking about actual intercourse, sexual relations. This is, of course, disgusting. And yet this is a guy the Democrats wanted to be the president of the United States. There's a fascinating article in Covert Action magazine. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky came to power in a carefully planned operation coordinated by the Western intelligence services, according to a former U.S. diplomat. This is quite fascinating. It reports, in October 2020, on a visit to London, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky met with Sir Richard Moore, the head of the British Intel Service, MI6. And as most of you will be aware, MI5 is their domestic intel service, equivalent to the FBI. MI6 is their foreign intel service, equivalent to CIA. The usual diplomatic protocols for a visiting head to meet with his counterpart, in this case would have been Prime Minister Boris Johnson, were finessed. According to Andriy Mishkin, a former employee of the Ukrainian Foreign Ministry, the meeting signified Zelensky was a professional intelligence agent and that Moore was his direct handler telling him what to do. What's going on here in the U.S., I'm convinced, Joe Biden's direct handler is none other than Barack Obama, who, you know, really did so much to corrupt the United States and to set us up for the theft of elections and a mass of other very bad things behind the scene, about which I shall have more to say. Since the commencement of the special military operation in Ukraine, Zelensky has surrounded himself with British, not Ukrainian, security guards. Photographs capture these guards with the Ukrainian flag sewn backwards on their uniforms, which under ordinary circumstance would lead to them being shot when he visited the Vatican in May of 2023. Moreover, Zelensky snubbed Pope Francis by giving him an artifact with satanic imagery and spent most of his time with a British bishop, Paul Gallagher. Present at the meetings was Sir Richard Moore, the purported handler. Former UN Weapon Inspector Scott Ritter had produced a new documentary, Agent Zelensky, which details Zelensky's relationship with Moore and MI6. I think this is quite significant and substantial. And as I may or may not have already mentioned, I'll give links to all the stories I discuss when I upload the show to my BitChute channel. You may not find them all on the RBN archive, but you can find them all on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, when I upload the stories. Meanwhile, we have a whole lot more going on here in the United States. It's very curious, but Joe Biden has claimed that he's declared a national emergency on climate. Get this, CNN. President Joe Biden incorrectly claimed in an interview with a Weather Channel that he's already declared a national emergency on the climate crisis. I've already done that, Biden said, when asked whether he intends to declare a climate emergency. We've conserved more land. We've rejoined the Paris Climate Accord. We passed a $369 billion climate control facility. We're moving. It's an existential threat to humanity. It appears, however, to be false that he actually has declared a climate crisis. But I would say this is something you may anticipate. It's all too likely to take place. Yeah, I think the ability to manipulate the weather, which as long ago as Lyndon Johnson said, he who controls the world, the weather controls the planet, have been taking place at a rapid pace, where the events in Maui are only the most recent example and illustration. It's shocking what's happened there. We have the use of what appear to be directed energy weapons, and we have it in multiple different formats. We have eyewitness reports. We have video of their use. We have the devastating effects taking place. We have homes destroyed, including even the ceramics, leaving only white ash as a residue, just as we had in Paradise, California. I have, frankly, no doubt at all that is the mode of devastation that was inflicted on Maui. I've therefore been rather floored to discover that Miles Mathis, where I have correspondents and callers who are very enthusiastic about this guy, suggesting they're faking photos from Maui. What does he mean when he makes that claim? He says, what kind of wildfire turns everything white and nothing black? What kind of wildfire burns buildings but not trees? And how did the wildfire move in? The forested area stops more than a mile away from town, and Luhania is surrounded on all sides by open fields with little or no brush. So how did this happen? The oddity to me, as I read the Mathis article, is he's claiming that the articles, the photographs showing the white powder are fake and the legitimate ones would have it all black. What, in my opinion, he ought to be inferring, since these photographs are ubiquitous, they're just bountiful, we have video, very extensive, is that it cannot have been a wildfire. If it had been a wildfire, then the environment would have been turned black, as he correctly observes. But it's not turned black, therefore it was not a wildfire. That's absolutely right. And the predictable outcome of the use of directed energy weapons is white powdery hash. That's exactly what we found in Paradise, California. That's exactly what we find here now in Maui. I was puzzled by whether Miles was seeking to deny, therefore, that this has been done or carried out through the use of directed energy weapons. And that appears to be exactly what's going on. He has a subsequent article just published on August 16th, Due for Brains, it's entitled, where he's attempting to debunk the very idea it was done by directed energy weapons. He says the strangest side street to this fake, and he's claiming, you see, all these photographs of Maui are fake, is a dew angle, which is being promoted in a chorus so raucous, it can only come from Langley or the Air Force. But how and why now? Why is someone so insistent that you fear the dreaded dew now? Isn't it obvious, he claims? Because they're losing the nuclear fear and to replace it with something else. People are finally figuring out there are no nukes. And the Oppenheimer movie failed to quench that figuring. That, too, was a PR failure of massive proportions. But they need you to fear one of their weapons of mass destruction to keep you hiding under the bed in a cold dread. COVID failed because people have finally figured that one out as well. The next fake pandemic is going to be met with stony silence, noncompliance, or violent pushback. So they need you afraid they can wipe you out by the millions with some new weapon. All they have to do is push a button and they can melt your entire town off the map. But according to Miles Mathis, this is all a bluff. Yes, they have some next-generation weapons, but they don't have a dew that can do the Twin Towers to dust or melt entire cities. He doesn't need dew, he claims, to explain all these things. It's fascinating to me because it's very clear, in my opinion, it was done with dews. If I don't have the videos up today, I'll have them up tomorrow, where you can actually watch the dews in action. We have all the peculiarities you expect if this were a directed program, because some of the buildings, some of the properties were not even singed. Oprah, for example, owns hundreds and hundreds of acres there in this very vicinity, but it was unscathed. We have videos showing if you go along the shoreline of Lujania, all of a sudden, you come to a very, very impressive building. Guess what? It's owned by the governor. It's not touched at all. You go further along and you find another building, a really magnificent hotel, not touched. What's going on here? Why were they not damaged? Because they weren't on the list. They weren't on the list. It's just fascinating to me now that Miles Mathis is in the business of seeking to debunk what I take to be the obvious explanation. It's not coming from Langley. It's not something that's been manufactured whatsoever. It's coming from Maui. It's coming from evidence we can see before our very eyes.
Anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, days I'm gone, not so self-assured. Now I find, I've changed my mind, I'll open up the doors.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right.
Miles Mathis continues. Let's go back to the Twin Towers and 9/11. That's where the do-stuff came from, with Judy Wood claiming the towers were bought down by some sort of directed energy weapon. As for the birds, since we never need do to explain anything there either, we can see sequence charges going off. He says we know they were working for months installing the charges to destroy the Twin Towers, closing entire floors to do it, making all sort of racket. We know there were big booms from the explosion in the basement, knocking out the main columns from the base. But the do, there'd be no need for any of that. If you want a point-by-point rebuttal of Wood, try this. I haven't got time for it here, with a link to an earlier piece. Well, I've had my differences with Judy over the years, so I did feature her early on as the founder of Scholars for 9/11 Truth, which just took off like a rocket in 2006, where I invited Steve Jones to be my co-chair. And I have faulted Judy on multiple grounds, most importantly that she will not talk about who was responsible or why 9/11 took place. as is also true of architects and engineers Richard Gage and Stephen Jones. They won't talk about who is responsible and why, which I regard as leaving the public in a quandary, not understanding why something so esoteric as whether it was done with nanothermite or directed energy weapons or mini nukes should matter. I have been very skeptical of Judy, but it's easy to prove that Miles Mathis can't be right about knocking out the charges. We actually had that happen with Building 7, a 47-story structure that, had it not been surrounded by 210-story behemoths, would have been the tallest building in some 37 states. When Building 7 came down, it was in a classic controlled demolition. All the supports were taken out at the same time. It came down at close to free fall. And when it was over, we had a stack of debris equal to 5.5 floors or 12% of the 47-floor original, which is what occurs with a controlled demolition. In the case of the 110-story Twin Towers, however, if they collapse, any form of collapse, which, of course, we were hearing already from the Harley guy, they had to get him out there front and center to create a first impression, claiming the intense fires from the jet fuel had caused the steel to weaken or even melt. In the upper floors, it come crashing down, causing the lower floors to collapse. This wasn't even a physically possible explanation. The buildings were designed, as John Skilling, the chief engineer, explained, with a safety factor of 20, meaning each floor could carry 20 times its expected dead load, where the live load then is the dead load plus all the equipment, the computers, the desks, and so forth that might be added. There was no possible way those buildings could have collapsed. Indeed, Chuck Baldwin, who's a retired high school math, physics, and chemistry teacher, did a calculation to show that for every unit of downward force, there were 199 units of upward force. So we've been sold a bill of goods from the beginning, one which it would appear Miles Mathis wants to conform. He wants to promote an indefensible, scientifically preposterous theory about the buildings. He continues, in my opinion, Wood is just a variation of Jim Fasser, who started out with Steve Jones promoting the thermite theory, but soon switched to mini nukes, undercutting Jones and splitting the whole project, which I assume was his assignment from the beginning. This is completely ridiculous. I was skeptical of the thermite theory from the beginning because thermite is a very feeble explosive. It only has a 13th the force of TNT. Why would you use thermite when you could use TNT or something far more powerful? My coming around to the mini nuke theory didn't occur until 2012. 2012, when I organized the Vancouver hearings that took place there, and we had a whole lot of evidence presented about the use of mini nukes that convinced me that is how it had been done, which has been further confirmed. If you want to get the scientific basics, you want to check out my article entitled On C-SPAN, Richard Gage Leaves 9/11 Truth in a Time Warp, to which I shall return after this break. But the key being this, for an explosive to significantly fragment a material, its detonation velocity must be equal to or greater than speed of sound in that material. This law requires a detonation velocity of at least 3,200 meters per second to fragment concrete and 6,100 to fragment steel, which is far beyond the highest recorded detonation velocity of 895 meters per second for nanothermite. So what we have here is a physical impossibility that Miles Mathis seems to be endorsing. Both Woods and Fetzer, he said, were sent in to infiltrate and blow smoke all over the event, and they did that to the best of their ability, which wasn't much. They even worked together. You can see why Fetzer was hired to push the nuclear theory. nukes were already being questioned by others before I came along, so they needed to be included in the 9/11 promo. This is simply absurd. The United States Geological Survey did dust sample studies at 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Barium, strontium, thorium, uranium, lithium, lanthanum, yttrium, chromium, tritium, some of which only exist in radioactive forms. After watching the videos about Luhania, by the way, however, I am open to the possibility directed energy might have been used, but primarily the buildings were destroyed by mini nukes, which is why when if there had been a collapse, there had to have been 13 and a half floors of debris, there was nothing there. Father Frank Morales featured on my shows in the past twice, emphasized both buildings were destroyed to or even below ground level. That would have been impossible and contradicts a collapse, but also there would have been a mass of material even had it been with directed energy. Only nukes can really explode. Explain what happened here, where there was a massive steel assembly, for example, over 200 tons that was blown outward into the Winter Garden, which some had described as a place where dews and nanothermite go to die. It's explicable by a very powerful source of energy. For many, many more details, you want to check it out. On C-SPAN, Richard Gage leads 9/11 truth in a time warp. And we have, in addition, for further confirmation, a mass of medical maladies by first responders and local residents, including all kinds of unusual cancer, multiple myeloma, pancreatic cancer, a host that were very similar in mimicking what happened in Chernobyl, which, of course, was a nuclear meltdown that took place, guess where, in Ukraine. So what we have is as many as 70,000 have died because of the nuclear radiation effects of the fallout, which, of course, Miles Mathis or anyone who wants to deny the use of nukes is going to have a very difficult time explaining. So I'm fascinated that Miles Mathis has taken this tack. The ultimate objective, by the way, of the disinformation campaign run by the government is to make everything believable and nothing knowable. I believe Miles Mathis is contributing, and while most of his stuff, I would agree, is very good, the classic formula for disinformation is 80% truth, 20% false, to deliver a payload by having established your credibility on the basis of your other work. I think that's what we have going on here with Miles Mathis today. But the fact is that Luhania is such an obvious case of directed energy that I do not think he can get away with this scam. And I do regard this as an effort to conceal the true causes of what happened there, which is now going to be, you know, reinforced by Biden using other weather anomalies or bringing about, such as in Southern California, but also in Canada and elsewhere, as justification for a climate emergency that'll give him virtual control over the United States, its communication, its transportation, and every other aspect. Stunning stuff. Meanwhile, I mentioned Barack Obama having had a role in stealing our elections. Get this. This is a wonderful report by Joe Hoff at the Gateway Pundit. Engineers discovered nationwide cellular network connects election equipment, gives federal government access to election systems down to the precinct level. A growing majority of Americans know that 2020 election was fraudulent. Many analysts who've been studying election integrity have concluded there had to have been a two-way connection between local election electronics, electronic poll pads, tabulators, election management systems, voter databases, more, in a centralized data collection system responsible for monitoring and manipulating the elections. Fingers have already been pointed at all-inclusive election management software, the Albert Sensor System, Civil and Edison, and the Election Infrastructure Information Sharing and Analysis Center. This incestuous collaboration between the Department of Homeland Security, the Election Assistance Commission, leftist globalist funding, foreign companies and their private partners allowed for real-time monitoring of all election data and, more importantly, the ability to change the results. While experts could understand the functional capabilities of how these programs manipulate elections at the county and state level, one area of mystery remained. Experts could not fully explain how systems within individual precincts, which are supposedly air-gapped, were adding votes in real time, such as the no-link poll pads in Texas that added hundreds of votes to the 2022 midterm election after the polls had closed. To accomplish election fraud at individual polling places, it's necessary to have an air interface with supposedly air-gapped equipment, networks, and polling. Well, guess what? It turns out that just days before Obama left office, his administration, Department of Homeland Security, used a specter of Russian interference in the 2016 election as an excuse to declare election system to be part of that critical infrastructure. As a result, that state was set to roll election systems into a comprehensive cellular system known as FirstNet. The private network, like so many things that have proven detrimental to liberty, it was sold as a tool to ensure public safety. The idea of a national cellular network dedicated to public safety was hatched in the woke of 9/11, when congested cell network proved to be a bottleneck for first responders. Thus, in 2012, Congress created the First Responder Network Authority under the Department of Congress to oversee the build-out of FirstNet. The original intent provided by the sponsors was that FirstNet would serve police, fire, and EMT services. However, the scope was soon expanded to include all critical infrastructure, water, energy, and transportation, and then was expanded by Obama to include our election infrastructure. We know now how it was done. We have the final piece of the puzzle to go along with what Mike Lindell had revealed, what Ron Johnson had revealed, what Dinesh D'Souza had revealed with his 2,000 mules, where it turns out there weren't just 2,000, there were like 59,000, along with the trunks of ballots that were delivered to voting stations after the polls had closed. So I think there's really no question whatsoever about the massive theft of the election. Nevertheless, just as in other cases like 9/11, where a serious question can be raised on the basis of objective evidence, the government and the media, which is its instrument of oppression, have been quick to censor, ridicule, and attack those who have raised issues that undermine the official narrative. And here I'm surprised to say, and I really didn't expect this, Miles Mathis, I now have been forced to conclude, is a part of that internet of censorship and propaganda to suppress and attack those who have been seeking to expose the truth. And by the way, if I didn't make it already clear, I do believe that the nuke hypothesis can explain even the toasted cars that Judy Wood has made so much of in relation to her directed energy hypothesis. I'm open now to the prospect that directed energy weapons may have been used as a collateral supplement, but where the basic damage was done by mini nukes in the sub-basement of the Twin Towers, which were designed with a tube within a tube configuration, with a 47 massive core columns were in the inner tube. 230 external support columns were the outer tube, where they were connected by steel trusses filled with 4 to 8 inches of concrete, which meant because the buildings are 208 feet on a side, each of the floors represented an acre of concrete on a stool steel truss. While I shall not pursue the issue here today, this also explains why it was impossible for real planes to have entered the Twin Towers. They would have crumbled external to the building and fallen to the ground. And yet we have photographs and video of the ground beneath the facades of both the North and the South Tower that are strikingly bereft of any plane parts. No bodies, no seats, no luggage, no tail, no wings, indicating that the claim that planes actually hit the building is untrue. But while it can be easy to lie, it can be complicated to explain why a claim is a lie. I'll save that for another occasion. Meanwhile, of course, Donald Trump represents a massive threat to the establishment. I believe it may be that the central reason is that Trump is basically a non-interventionist. He opposed the war in Ukraine. He felt it was a mistake, that if he'd been in office, it would never have taken place. But the establishment on both sides of the aisle benefits from the military-industrial complex coordinated effort to maintain a war economy and a gravy train. Trump, yes, threatened the establishment on other grounds, but I believe this turns out to be the fundamental reason where we've had these efforts, multiple, now including 4 different criminal indictments brought against Trump that are intended to derail his campaign in different ways. I'll return to James Lindsay, who has a wonderful explanation for what happened. But let me just illustrate how bad it is. The Fulton County Court even posted the RICO charges against Trump before the grand jury had voted them. They were put up on the website of the Fulton County Court. They had a case number. They had a judge assigned. And I can assure you from my own experience with the law, because of all of its effort to suppress and attack me for research, collaborative research I've done on Sandy Hook, that they wanted to attack me to discredit me, just as they have Alex Jones. And even in the Remington case, it turns out that my efforts to enter those cases with amicus briefs to explain that there's been no judicial determination that anyone died at Sandy Hook, which I was also introducing in my own case. All the other cases have been settled on the basis or presuppositions or assumptions in Alex Jones' case on the allegation that he had failed to provide discovery, though no one can figure out what discovery failed to provide. In my case, the judge had the right to just set aside any evidence that he regarded to be unreasonable. In other words, in Wisconsin, and I think this is a major deficiency of what's known as summary judgment in Wisconsin, the judge just set aside all the evidence I had, which even included the FEMA manual for the exercise at Sandy Hook, the FBI report, the Consolidated Crime Report of 2012, showing zero at the intersection for murders or non-negligent manslaughters in Newtown, of which Sandy Hook is a part, in a vast array of photographs showing the school and the, you know, that classic, the iconic image of the students being evacuated was staged. That was a second photograph where you see there are a whole lot of parents there with their arms folded, standing around, looking on casually, that they even rearranged the kids to get a better shot. Not only is that the case, however, but all of these lawsuits aren't having the intended effect. It turns out that in Louisiana, for example, in the Republican primary poll, and this is just in the last few days, Donald Trump had 75% support. The next closest, Ron DeSantis, at 10%. Then you had Mike Pence at 2, Chris Christie 1, Tim Scott 1, Vivek Ramaswamy 1%. I mean, it's not having the intended effect. Indeed, it turns out that after each of these indictments, Trump's poll numbers have actually gone up. That's rather astonishing, frankly. Well, we have a wonderful explanation by a guy named James Lanzi talking about the real explanation for the Trump indictments. Listen to this.
Today, our very, very special guest is James Lanzi. He is the founder of New Discourses and author of The Marxification of Education. James, so good to have you back on American Thought Leaders.
Hey, Jan, glad to be here.
So, James, you had a very, very interesting response to this recent Trump indictment. In fact, the spate of them as they've come out. So I want to get you to tell me what you're seeing.
Well, the thing is that I actually see a lot of things at once, and that's a little complicated. So I'll kind of try to unpack it for you. What I see is, first of all, that the people that we're dealing with here, the enemy, the regime, whatever it is that we're actually dealing with, operates through what's called political warfare. Some people have heard of the term fifth generation warfare. So they have strategic operations that they are pulling on the population in order to try to advance agendas. It's not just that they're doing what they're doing. There's a purpose for what they're doing. And in this case, what I'm seeing is, yeah, they're doing a number of things. They're trying to indict Trump, and maybe they're trying to get him to go to jail. Maybe they're trying to disqualify him as a candidate. They're obviously trying to run a distraction program, because we see that these indictments happen to come out every time, as Trump would call them, the Biden crime family gets, you know, exposed for something nefarious the next day, or within two days or so, we see an indictment of Trump or a spate of indictments of Trump and other people in his orbit, all related to kind of January 6th kind of stuff. And so there's clearly a number of things happening. They're trying to make Trump messy. They're trying to maybe get him in trouble or disqualify him. And they are trying to do a distraction operation to distract from, you know, things that are happening that people should be paying attention to on the Biden side of things. I think there's actually more going on than that, too. I think they're trying to provoke the American people into reacting, to thinking that we've lost our nation already. We've lost a nation of laws, that the law is political. And I've given kind of some cute names to these different facets of this. You know, the distraction part's obvious enough, the indictment part's obvious enough, but making Trump messy, I actually gave it a name, Operation Make Trump Messy. It's easy to remember. They want to make people not want to vote for Trump because he's just too burdened with messy stuff. There's too much legal trouble. It's going to be a circus again. I don't want to deal with it. I'm just not going to vote for him, to chase people away from supporting him while cornering him into the nomination. And then secondly, this other one that I'm calling Operation Poke the Bear is a more subtle and difficult to explain act of political warfare. But the idea is to try to provoke the American public into giving up on the rule of law.
Well, so why don't we actually go through these very quickly? Because you see, I think I counted at least four things going on.
That's right. Four things going on. They want to make Trump messy. They want to tie him up by having to be in court with a civilian cases. He doesn't have to make a personal appearance. But if he's the criminal cases, normally that would mean he couldn't be out on the stump. They want to deplete his resources. I mean, it consumes a lot of time and money doing this. And then when he said poke the bear, they want to discourage the American people from believing in the judicial system of the United States. And frankly, they're doing quite a good job of it. That's really very much what's taking place here, I think. And the irony is, every time they put down an indictment, and it's coordinated with major revelations about Biden corruption, whether it's Hunter or Joe, or the combination, the whole Biden crime family, whether it's a mafiosi coming forward and saying, yeah, they operate just the way we did, except we only had 16 of these phony shell companies where they have 20, okay? But he's confirming this is a crime family at work. Exactly. That's exactly what's taking place. They want to roll out another indictment. They want to distract you from recognizing that the guy who the Democrats have offered us as president of the United States is now a mass is massively is not only a pedophile, but his corruption is beyond words, and he's actually the head of a crime family. They think we aren't going to notice. Well, I got news.
Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for?
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of Truth Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now, I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I need somebody
help,
not just anybody
help.
You know I need someone
help.
When I was younger,
when
so much younger than today,
I never needed
anybody's help in any way.
Now
these days are gone,
days
I'm
gone,
not so self-assured.
Now I find
a change of mind and open up the doors.
Now, the ones who need help is the Democratic Party now, because the leader of their party is demented. He's corrupt. He's a pedophile, and the whole world knows it. So they're planning to steal the election in 2024, just as they did in 2020 and 2022. But they need a plausible pretext. They need to have a candidate they can claim impress the voters. Biden obviously is not that candidate, even less so Kamala Harris. So what I anticipate is going to take place is Biden might, and this is, I think it was Jonathan Turley who suggested a break the glass move. Biden might pardon Hunter, but himself step down from candidacy for 2024. That would be explicable on the ground of a father offering to protect his son. We have more and more evidence. I mean, it turns out now that the House committee looking into this, the Oversight Committee, has found Joe used two or three other pseudonyms as email handles. So now they're finding it's not just the tiny number of emails they had that was more or less directly tying Joe, but a whole host more of them. He can't plausibly run. I think the actual legitimate polling support for Joe Biden is around 9%. They, you know, James Carville, who obviously was in on it, claimed that in 2022, the Republicans lost 57 House seats, which they actually had legitimately won, but they stole them. They changed the number and gave them back to the Democrats on the ground that Trump was responsible. But the people, the public loves Trump. The best estimate I can figure is that Trump actually in 2020 won over 100 million votes and Biden 37. So you see the magnitude of the theft. But they got to have a plausible cover story. I believe they're going to try to get Biden out. They may move Kamala up temporarily and bring in Gavin Newsom. I have no doubt he's their preferred candidate. Now, he's done a lot to muck up California. But they want a guy who's going to do what he's done for California to the whole nation. I mean, that's what Biden's been all about. That's what the open borders, that's what the green energy, electric vehicles, not prosecuting, shoplifting and all that, revolving door justice, all the homelessness, not treating the problems of America, but making matters worse. That's what they're all about. So if you want to do more damage, Gavin Newsom has a proven track record in California. He's your man. But they want to supplement that with diversity. I'm convinced they want to run Gavin Newsom with Michelle Obama. Now, most Americans don't know to this day that Michelle Obama is a man with breast implants and a huge shaving bill. The fact is, the latest events in Martha's Vineyard are going to complicate things tremendously, because they raise question about what the hell happened there. Michelle is not going to want to answer, and the Democrats would prefer to circumvent if they possibly could. We'll be right back and take your calls.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details, or visit 3DBunkers.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.